Let's continue to give the Lord. They say, Father, we thank you. Just give God thanks in your own words. Continue giving him thanks. Just thank him because indeed he is good to you. He's working in your life. He's bringing forth the plan of God for you. Your being here again this evening is part of the plan of God. It's part of his way of working out his eternal plan in your life. Just continue to give him thanks. Say, Lord, I worship you because in Christ I live. You're working out the purpose of your will, your eternal will in my life. Just give him thanks again for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Today, again, the word will enter your heart.
Amen.
It will give you light and direction.
Amen.
It will break every bad habit.
Amen.
It will manifest godliness.
Amen.
It will cause righteousness to emit out of your being.
Amen.
It will cause you to be an influence in your environment.
Amen.
And every disease is cursed by it.
Amen.
It's totally eradicated.
Amen.
Because Jesus has already paid.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please shake somebody's hands before you sit down. Tell the person, you're blessed.
You're blessed.
You're blessed to be here.
You're to be here.
So Satan is running away.
You have come for real deliverance.
Real deliverance. So that's your portion. Tell the person, there are things you don't even know are wrong. And you have been delivered from them.
Say,
the sickness that will have come in 10 years.
The sickness that will have come in 10 years.
Today,
the word is curing it.
And you are enjoying it.
Enjoying
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now we are continuing our study on the pursuit of God. And we will be starting today from the book of, which one do we start with now? Last time I began to speak about the pursuit of eternal life. And that's the topic I want to pick on to sit on today. Last time I ended up saying a lot of other things before we got into the pursuit of eternal life. We ended up speaking mostly about seeking the face of God, what that means, what that implies, what we are supposed to experience by that. Among the things that we said last time, I think it's very important I review them. Or let's just read a portion of the Bible again today before we start that. The book of Psalms chapter 27. Today I just feel like reading it from another translation entirely. Don't ask me why. Sometimes you get, you know, as a preacher, you just have these moods. Just wake up in the morning, have a different idea. So that's one I have today. I want to read from the God's Word translation, Psalm 27. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who is there to fear? The Lord is my life's fortress. Who is there to be afraid of? He said, evildoers closed in on me to tear me to pieces. My opponents and enemies stumbled and fell. Even though an army sets up camp against me, my heart will not be afraid. Even though a war breaks out against me, I will still have confidence in the Lord. I have asked one thing from the Lord, this I will seek. Now please notice this. I have asked one thing from the Lord, that is, I have all these troubles, but what is paramount in my heart is this one thing. He said, and that is the thing I will seek, to remain in the Lord's house all the days of my life, in order to gaze at the Lord's beauty, and to search for an answer in his temple. He hides me in his shelter when there is trouble. He hides me hidden in his tent. He sets me high on a rock. Now my head will be raised above my enemies who surround me. I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy in his tent. I will sing and make music to praise the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Have pity on me and answer me. Now please notice this. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, O Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Please notice that the Lord said, seek my face. The Lord did not just present his face. The Lord did not just give out his face. He said, you that I'm talking to, go and look for it. Are you getting my point? That is, it's valuable. Things that are valuable, you have to show your commitment to wanting them. He said, I said, my heart said to you, O Lord, I will seek your face. That is, I will put my effort into it. Do not hide my face, your face from me. Do not angrily turn me away. You have been my help. Do not leave me. Do not abandon me, O God, my Savior. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path, because I have enemies who spy on me. Do not surrender me to the will of my opponents. False witnesses have arisen against me. They breathe out violence. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in this world of the living. Wait with hope for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Yes, wait with hope for the Lord. Now, that's what we read last time, Psalm 27. This one, I just took it into God's Word translation. That's because I was reading it actually earlier in the day, and it sounded so nice. So I decided, let's just take a look at it from God's Word translation. And that's what I want to pick up from today. As is my habit, I'd just like to take a minute and go back to what we said last time, and then pick up from there. We're also going to read from the book of John later, but let's just quickly revise the things that we said, what we have been saying. This is the pursuit of God we have been talking about. Today is the ninth of the messages. And last time we talked about the face of God and how when we see God's face, his power is released. Among the things we said, I remember I pointed out the fact that you have to, the other time we talked about the prophets of the inner circle. I must emphasize that again. God needs those prophets on the earth. There is nothing that God wants to do on the earth that will be done except he's able to raise the prophets of the inner circle. Who are the prophets of the inner circle? They are the prophets that have imbibed his spirit by being in his presence. Last time I talked about the two kinds of prophets that Israel had. And the Lord told Aaron and, of course, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, okay, about them. He said that when they challenged Moses, they attacked a different kind of prophet. He said, in Israel, I have all kinds of prophets. But there is a kind of prophet that Moses is like and should have been afraid to talk to Moses. And from there, we learn that there are prophets, okay, that are not just commissioned by God to go and deliver words. They are commissioned, definitely, but beyond that, they have a personal relationship. I took time last time to explain about the man Daniel, that the Jews did not consider him a prophet in the sense they consider the other, in the same sense as they consider the other prophets, people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, you understand, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Haggai, and all of that. But because he had a high esteem in heaven, God used to give him revelations that were actually personal consolations. He was that kind of prophet that he knew the mind of God because he loved God. He knew the mind of God because he took time out to stay with somebody he loved, who was the Lord. I remember at the beginning we talked about the fact that Enoch walks with God, and that till now God is looking for such people to walk with him. Those are the people that he calls, he refers to when he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's the kind of person that Abraham was. Even though you never heard God call Abraham, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were created, I anointed you to be a prophet of the nations. God never told him that. But he rebuked kings for his sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do not do my prophet, talking about Abraham now, any harm. When they took his wife, he told the man, you have taken the wife of a prophet. And that's Abraham. We said that Adam was God's first prophet. The time that Adam was speaking to the animals, the time that Adam was naming them names that we said, is not just about, okay, identification. It's describing character. He was prophesying to the animals what they will be like on the earth. He was telling them, you look like you will do well in the home. So you will be a domestic animal. And he made a dog a domestic animal. He will look at a close relative and say, no, you will be in the wild. He will look at another animal and say, no, you can't be at home. He will describe their character. And that was why at the end of the day, when God created the next human being, which was his wife, he also brought the woman to him to see what he would declare into her life. And he now declared into her life This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Now, this is what's going to happen. A woman she shall be called. Are you getting my point? He gave her character. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the job of a prophet. Adam was God's prophet. We talked about the fact that the different prophets in Israel, people like Jacob, people like Moses, they would describe what will happen to the generations after. These are the prophets of the inner circle. By being with God, God didn't have to talk to them directly, but they had imbibed his spirit. And having imbibed his spirit, they saw the way he saw, and therefore they reacted the way he reacted. And when they opened their mouths to speak, they will be speaking the word of God. And God will have to confirm those words. So that's the kind of prophet that all of us Christians are supposed to be like. And listen, that was what God proposed. There was a time somebody was prophesying and they were saying, shut up. Moses said, are you jealous for my sake? I wish everybody would be prophets. That's what God is saying. I want every one of my people to be a prophet, every child of God. So that if I send them into a particular area, all right, in life, because they understand the mechanisms of what's going on in there, and they have the right spirit, they will look and say, this petroleum sector, this is not good. And they will say something else, and that one will come to pass. Yes, a pastor, you know, somebody like us who sit down on days like this and be teaching, we may not be prophets in that area. And there's no point in trying to be a prophet everywhere. There are many things you don't understand. Even if the Holy Spirit wanted to reveal them, you won't be able to receive them. Do you follow my point? I mean, if you did not go to school and read a lot of, and study a lot of things about, let's say, petroleum industry, Holy Spirit won't come and bother you with, fracking. And you get my point? He won't bother you with some of these things that, you won't be able to talk into them. So he raised a prophet like you in that sector. Do you get my point? He said, you go to church. I like one thing, David Paulson said. He said, the job of those ministers listed, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to clone themselves. When he said it, I said, is everybody going to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? All right. Is everybody going to be like that? Then I realized that they may not all stand on the pulpit like this, but if the apostle stands up like this on the pulpit and declares words and does what David Paulson said, clones himself, they will not all come and replace him on the pulpit, but they will go to wherever God sent them and they will become apostles in that place. There they will raise the dead. It is not only human dead you raise. You can raise dead businesses. Do you get my point? You can say dry bones will live again. After people will know that that man, any business he buys, follow him. Because whatever he puts his hand to do, rise up from the dead. They will be telling stories. There was a company, they told us that the manufacturer had moved to China. The man bought the whole company that used to be worth $500 million, bought it for just a token sum of maybe $50,000 with all the liabilities and assets. We knew that was minus, but he came there and he was smiling. And he said, manufacturing shall return. And we said, you don't understand. It has gone to China. There is no electricity. And the man looked and said, I said it will return. And he leaves. And we close the gate. Say, this man has bought liability he doesn't know. Then a few months down the line, a new government came up and looked at it and said, these Chinese people are killing our economy. And they imposed some tariff. Then power generation improved. Before we knew what was happening, it made more sense to manufacture those things locally than importing them. Then we went back to that factory, unlocked the gates, and began to oil the machines. A year and 6 months after he bought the company, we released the first goods and were hitting the market at 40% cheaper than the Chinese imports and at better quality. Then we looked at the man and said, indeed, a prophet has risen in the midst of us. The man doesn't preach in church. He only preaches in factories. When he talks to machines, they respond. That is how preachers clone themselves. Are you getting my point? So Moses, his desire will be fulfilled. I wish that all of you were prophets. It is possible for everybody to be a prophet. You are a woman, you are raising children in the home. I don't need to tell you. You are the prophetess of the type that Deborah self can't compare with. You wake up in the morning, what to declare upon the house. Now, going to Proverbs 31, you will see that the Lord gave the authority to run that home into the hands of a virtuous woman. Are you getting my point? Which means that she has words to declare that will bring order into the house. But Satan, you know what he does? He tries to confuse us. You wake up in the morning and the children, of course, you know, children, they have to grow from being satanic to being godly. You know that? When they are born, they are on Satan's side. It's true, children. When they are born, they are on Satan's side. It's as they are growing up, and you are working with God and with righteousness, that they keep on moving gradually to the Lord's side. And it's in the Bible like that. Foolishness is bound where? In their hearts. So I say, everybody wake up at 5:30, 6:15. In fact, they just came to bed at 5:00. It's called tempter. What did I say? It's temptation. They are tempting you. That's what I mean by being on Satan's side. They tempt you to see whether you will sin with your mouth. And then many people don't know. They now open their mouths and declare, these useless children. Can you see that? They think they are responding to the behavior of the children. No, they fell for the temptation of Satan. You have to learn to reorder your words. When you are angry, you coin the words differently. We say to them, in this house, all of you will obey the Lord. Even if you have to use a rod to make the point clear. You understand my point? You don't speak negatively. Ah, no, they are going to tempt you. They are going to teach them to tell the truth, and they'll come and tell you a lie. But don't tell this boy you are a liar. No, he's not a liar. How can he be a liar? He's a seed of the righteous. So you say to him, you are the seed of the righteous. You will not make lying a habit. Can you see? It's a different word. This time around, it's a prophetic declaration. So that's prophecy in the home. In your business, you are a prophet. And I said, talk about the prophets of the inner circle. For you to be able to speak like God, you must be with him. Are you getting my point? Jesus, that was what he did. He appointed some that they will first be with him, then he'll be able to send them out. He sends them out so that they will declare his words. And that's why God said in that Jeremiah 23 we read, he said, if only they had been in my counsel, my inner circle, they would have heard my words, they would have seen my plan, they would have imbibed my spirit, they would have begun to think like me. They will have realized that when I saw the earth that was formless and void, I did not say useless earth. I said to the earth, light be. Then I created something in my heart and I began to declare those things into existence. And we said that's what we're supposed to be like God, who caused those things that be not as though they were. Or like my Bible, New American Standard, will say, who caused into existence that which did not exist. That's just the way it is. So we're looking at them, just trying to bring us up to speed and add some things here and there. All right. So remember last time we said, look, we must understand the face of God. That we said that knowing God's face or seeing God's face was a quest of the heart of Moses, who was an example of the other type of prophet. Not just a man who would come, take the word of God and run away with it. That's one type of prophet. But some who understood God personally. So the Lord could trust them to speak for him. Moses was like that. And you see Moses, we read from that Exodus 33, that Moses, the desire of his heart was to see his face. And God said in that 34, all right, I know what you really want. It's not the physical resemblance you are looking for that you need. What you need is a description, an understanding of the name of God. And we said any part of life where you know God's name, you gain control in that area. I like one illustration I used last time. That there are names we will never find out on this earth. Meditate from now till tomorrow. As long as you're on this earth, you won't find out those names. But when you're in the heavens, God says, let's make another universe. Okay, I want you to rearrange the stars. He won't sit you in class and start telling you, this is how you persuade the stars to move. He will tell you his name when it comes to star operations. When you realize the name of God, when it comes to arrangement of stars, you will look at the star and say, because you will see later, maybe we'll talk about it. There's a way you invoke God's names or God's name upon people. God said that to what is his name now? Aaron. He said, Moses said to Aaron and his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel. You know that one? The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord. He mentioned a number of times. He says, thus you will invoke my name upon them. You have to learn how to invoke God's name. It's not just by calling the name, it's understanding. When God shows you his name, I give an example. If you understand the meaning of Jehovah, man of war, you will know what David meant in that Psalm 27 we just read. When my enemies encamp around me, He said, my heart will not be disturbed. Why? He understood the name that God is the man of war. He understood. Look, I like the way he even started. Let me just look at that. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's God's name. My light, my salvation. He said, the fortress of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, because of the name of God, he understood, my fortress. He said, my opponents and enemies, they surrounded around me, but they stumbled and fell. Even though an army sets up camp against me, my heart will not be afraid. If you see the way he started it by saying, the Lord, what is his name? My light, my salvation. What is his name? My fortress. Once he understood that name, all the other things were the conclusions derived from that understanding. I said last time, one thing we must worry worry. That is, any part of life you don't understand the name of God, then don't give your soul rest until you have discovered it. That's what we're talking about here. We must seek his face. When he commanded, seek my face, he meant, you don't know enough about me. Go after understanding. Why didn't he just reveal it to the people? That's what we're talking about today. He said, he came to me, he said, look, it's like, you know, a man comes to you, say, make sure you see me. He said, but I'm in front of you. He says, and he goes away. When he says, make sure you see me, you know what that means? Start looking for how to find me. Go and read the story of Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall met him, Howard Carter, thank you. He believed that he and Howard Carter were supposed to see and go together. So Howard Carter said something to him. All right, you and I will travel together, no problem. Then after that, he didn't find Howard Carter again. Hey. They finally found each other, I think. Was it in Australia? From America. Not now that you have GSM, you Google him up or check his WhatsApp location and check whether he's on Facebook. No. Howard Carter, the man was... He had to pray so that by revelation, he will find Howard Carter. Sometimes God will do us like that. Seek my face. Show me what is important to you. Let your heart seek after me. He said, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, not when it's convenient. Because once we understand God's face, believe me, once we see his face in an area, we have gained control. That's what I want you to understand. You see his face in an area, you have gained control. You cannot pray effectively, we said it last time, until you understand God in that area in which you are praying. That was why Moses waited till God gave him the revelation of his name as a merciful God. Then he presented his request for mercy. Right after God declared himself as a merciful God. The Lord is good. So that's what we've been looking at. Now today we are looking at that in again. That's Psalm 27. And then remember what we read, the scripture we read last time. And we're going to read it again, maybe as we go on. That's from the book of John. But let's just continue. So we read from this Psalm 27. He said that, seek my face. And I said, your face, O Lord, will I seek. Now, let's read that one from John now. There's a reason why. I need to read it now so as to bring up the next point I want to make. The book of John chapter 6. The book of John chapter 6. One thing I want to bring out today to Christians, all right? Which is what we have been doing all this while, actually. Is for us to, of course, we began trying to say that we must know what to pursue in life. We must know what to pursue. You know, my wife and I were talking this afternoon. And I just told her, I said, listen, sometimes we tell you that, look, why, how is this man making a plan for his life? Anytime I hear that, my heart kind of wonders that, can we really plan our lives? If something is not going right for somebody, does not mean necessarily the person is making the wrong plans per se. It may be, this may make you laugh. It may be that the planning itself is a problem. That is, that you have a plan alone is a problem. Sometimes the people that don't have any plan actually do better. Now, please follow me. I'm not saying people should not have plans. But you have to be careful to know what to plan about. So I told my wife as I was speaking, and it came like understanding to me. I said, maybe we shouldn't ask people, what's your plan? We should say, what is your obedience for today? Not your plans. Many people are making plans that are disobedient today. I don't know whether you heard what I said. They have good plans, but today they are disobedient. I said, it's not your plans that's a problem. It's your lack of obedience for today. You know, The other on Tuesday, we talked about faith, right? Remember? And I said faith has what? Duties. There are some people who say they are walking by faith. This was the example we gave. I told a story I read from Kenneth Hagin, one of his short sermons. He said he went somewhere. And they said, talk to this young man. He respects you a lot. Listens to your messages. What is the problem? He doesn't agree to do anything. He has a wife. He has two or three kids. He doesn't agree to do anything. Why? He said, God will supply. And let me tell you something. Faith and foolishness, they look alike. They look alike. If you take a picture, all right, or you know what they call a wax model. We don't have them in Nigeria, but they have them. They have them in the UK, all right? You can take a picture with Michael Jackson. And you travel, go and fool people, say, I visited Michael Jackson. And you stand with Michael Jackson. And you take a picture with him, and your friends will think it's a real Michael Jackson. But what they will not know is it's a wax model. So if we took a still picture with Michael Jackson, and with the model of Michael Jackson, nobody can tell which is which. Because a wax model looks exactly the same. The only difference between a wax model of a man and him is that he is alive. The wax is wax. You get the point? Faith is like that. It looks very much like foolishness. Sometimes a man is walking by foolishness. If you take a picture of it, it looks like faith. So when you look at them, is this one alive? You can't tell, it's a photograph. So that young man that claimed that God will provide, listen to me, it's very hard to tell him he's not walking by faith unless God gives you understanding of another way to help him. And that's what we said on Tuesday, that what should you tell such a person? So boy, are you walking by faith? Let's see whether faith, your faith is alive. How do we know faith that is alive? James said, by the works it is producing. Which one is your own producing? Laziness. Producing idleness. Producing not blessing anybody. Nobody can go to sleep and say, you helped me today. Nobody will go to sleep and say, today I met that man. I got to a place where he was using the gift of God in his life and something was impacted into me. Nobody, after 6 months of being alive and well, nobody has a positive thing to say. One day a woman asked me for help in an area. And I asked a number of questions. Do you know when I asked a few questions about her husband. When she finished telling me about the man, I put my help back in my pocket. I said, if I give you this money, you'll give the man food. Such a man should starve. I'm serious. That's what I just felt. I couldn't tell her. You know, there are things you're just angry. You're just angry. You want to punch somebody. Your wife is out hustling. You sit at home picking your teeth. And she will cook food and you will eat. Bishop Oyedepo said if he's the one, he will not eat. He said, well, let me die in righteousness. I will die obeying God. We said it on Tuesday. That listen, faith has what? Duties. It has duties. So if you are walking by faith, you ask yourself, what is the duty of the faith I'm walking by? That's what we talked about. All right? The Lord is good. So I'm going to say something here. So that it's not the plans of a man actually that's the issue. It's what is what? I said earlier, you ask yourself, what is the obedience for today? Because I thought about it actually, you know, apart from, of course, I always pray to the Lord to give me understanding about life so I can give direction to people that listen to me. It's important I minister life to them. It's important. Somebody sent me a thank you message the other day. I get a number of them here and there. Some of you sent me quite a number last week or the other week. All right. I was blessed by those feedbacks. But this one said that you are like light in darkness. Because she listened to something I said. I told my wife, yeah, I'll listen to this. So, yeah, the wife of light in darkness is good. The Lord is good. So I always pray that God, please give me understanding so I can help those who listen to me. Like Paul would say, take heed to your teaching so you can save yourself and those that listen to you. He was writing to Timothy. Are you getting my point? So I thought about it very, very seriously. And I told myself, listen, it's not just about the plans you have for your life, but the obedience of today. You see what I'm talking about it. Over the last few days again, I started reading my book. That's what I do. I have a book. I've read it before. I read it again. So it refreshes something in your heart. I was reading the story of Derek Prince again. I have the biography okay, by Stephen Mansfield. I was listening to the story of the Red Prince again, and I looked at his life. I shook my head and said, my God, this man actually walked by faith. And I'm reading his biography. I'm reading his story. As an old man, half of the globe was listening to him every day. Once he went to New Zealand and they told him, sign papers. What is the paper about? Or what are the papers for? He said, we are registering Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand. Why? We have been broadcasting you on air for a while. And he was not aware. They invited him to come and preach. It was before he left, they said, please sign these papers. What's the paper about? Registration papers for Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand. It has become necessary because of feedback. People keep on writing the radio station. So we need to have a structure that can handle the correspondence. Maybe I'm just adding words now. Maybe people are sending in money to cooperate with the broadcasting. We need a structure that can receive the funds and use it appropriately. So the man signed papers and went back to where he came from. And Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand, Derek Prince knew nothing about it. The ministry just kept on running. They just take his tapes, he preached somewhere else. They did them, put them on TV, on radio. That's how his life was. Once he was just shortly before he died, while he was being interviewed by Stephen Mansfield, who wrote the book, they were sitting in a restaurant in Jerusalem. And next day, they saw a bit of commotion over on the other side of the restaurant. And of course, Israel is full of tourists, you know. And what happened? Some people, when they were coming to Israel, they knew he was living in Israel, so they prayed to God that he will let them see him. When they were coming, a band of tourists. So that day they entered the restaurant only for somebody to point out, look! So when they saw the Red Prince there, they knelt down to worship. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They were so excited. Many of them there were named Derek. I don't know whether I get the point. In the team, there were people who bought the name Derek. Why? Because their parents were so blessed by the Red Prince. When they had children, they gave them, once they were males, they gave them the name Derek. And the man didn't know. So he just sat down there and he saw people coming around crying. And they were like, who died? Who died? What happened? Are you getting my point? No, nobody died, sir. We are too excited to see you. He died a few weeks after that. Now, why am I talking about this? I read his story again. He made a statement. Stephen Mansfield asked him, you mean you didn't have any ambition? He said, I had none whatsoever. No plans, no ambition, nothing. I just knew that the Lord said he had called me to be a preacher, to a teacher of the body of Christ. So he had no plans. His life was just moving anyhow, in quote, until he became the Red Prince. But he made a statement. He said, my future was not mine to determine, that God was going to work it out as I obeyed him. He said, the problem these days, people have too much, they can plan too much. They have too much ambition. The man said, I had no ambition whatsoever. None. I told you before, the man, his own obedience was interesting. I told you his first wife. I used to say, well, she was 20 years older than him, remember? Yeah, I lied. She was 25 years older than him. I finally got, well, I didn't lie, of course. I made a mistake. I said she was the same age as his mother. No, his mother was 20 years older than him. His wife was 25 years older than him. Not kidding. By the time he was shaking his world, he was 40, between 45 and 50. His wife was over 70. The man said, ambition? No, I didn't have ambition. He didn't have ambition. That is, if you read his story, the man said, I had no ambition whatsoever. Now listen, he's a well-educated man. Don't think he's a layabout. He was teaching in the university when he went off to war. It was during the war, all right, Second World War, that he met Christ, gave his life to Christ. And in fact, he would tell, if there are messages on it, what he called disciples in the desert. He didn't have a church to go, nothing. Just used to read his Bible. That's how God kept on building him up. From there, he took a leave. That's when they were in Israel. Then he met, because there's this house, all the soldiers used to go and maybe get, you know, have some fellowship, have some refreshments. That's why she started going. It turned to be the house of Lydia. That's the woman he now married. From of course, after he left the army, he stayed back in Israel. After because of the war and everything, he had to leave, went back to England. his home country. Then he started, he said one day there's a particular space where everybody can speak anything that's in their minds. So one day he got there, he and his wife were walking, and they saw one little girl trying to preach. And some people were disturbing her, you know, pulling at her skirt and stalking, pulling at her hair and all of that. And the little girl determined to preach. So he went up there to be a man and stand up for her. Only to get there, it was one of his adopted daughters. Because by the time he married that woman, she had like 5 daughters adopted. So he said, wow, this must be what God wants me to do. So he took over from her and began to preach that day in the open. Then he preached and preached like that for days. People were giving their lives to Christ. He was teaching about salvation, the Holy Spirit, and healing. And people were responding. So that's how he started a church in his house. I don't want to tell the whole story about it. You can go and get his biography and read it. But his life kept on moving. From there, he went to Kenya. From there, he went to Canada. From Canada, he went down to the United States. From United States, he settled down finally in Florida. And then he was having so many invitations going from one place to the other that Derek Priest Ministries took off automatically. Now, I'm not telling any more stories about his life now, but to let you know that the man was obeying God daily. And let me tell you the truth. When I was reading it, I said, God, this is the structure for God, for the people of God. It's not the ability to plan your life that's the issue. It's the ability to obey God every day and relax. I was reading David Servant again today, and the man was talking about covetousness and all of that. And I said, that's the major problem. People are covetous. Everybody wants to strategize so they can have something big. You know, sometimes when people are running up and down, life is better here, it's better there, you can make money there. I just think about it. Do you ever sit down to realize that God did not create me to make money here and there, but to go out and obey him in past lives? I've told you here before many times, the richest list in the world doesn't mean anything. The richest people, the Forbes list, has no meaning. The only reason you hear me talk about somebody like Dangote again and again is not because he has money. I'm sure you know that. It's because of things I see him doing. So that's what used to excite me when you hear his name drop in my mouth a number of times. Today I was talking with my wife again. We're looking at the newspaper and all of that. Just saw one man there. I said, this man is one of the problems in Nigeria. He's from a very rich family, son of a former governor. I said, a family which, if you say, the only thing you know them for is that they are rich. What do they do? You don't know. I thought about it. I told my wife, I said, listen, these are the problems we have. Hey, Rankadede, a rich man who you cannot tell your children. This is the example to take from his life. I thought about it. And that's the problem we have. People think that, look, money means nothing. And Jesus kept on saying, beware and be on your guard against every form of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. What God wants us to do is to obey him on a daily basis, and then he leads us into the place he created us to be. Derek Prince would never, listen, he did not even desire what came out in his life. That was not his prayer. I was listening to reading Stephen Mansfield describe how technology changed Derek Prince's life, even though, of course, he didn't plan it. By the time his ministry was launching out, that's when the small compact cassette tape was being released. And if you go again, his countryman, David Pawson, said that was what changed his ministry. David Pawson met the Lord when he was in school, and he kept on serving the Lord as a university, an agriculture student in university. One day he prayed, said, God, what am I going to do? Let me know. Am I going to be, his father has at least a farm for him to take over when he will leave school. The day his father showed him the whole plan, he said, that you are a few days too late. He had already made an arrangement with the Lord that he's going to preach. Why he said, then he asked the Lord, please reveal to me what I'm supposed to do. By 12 o'clock that day, which was when he asked the Lord to please do it, he had 2 signs to let him know that he was going to be a preacher. He was already preaching at that time. So that's how he abandoned farming and decided to be a preacher. He was preaching in church. Somebody had this old, I never saw it, I just used to hear them talk about it. Big, they say real recorders, they will bring it to church. Make a long story short, let me not spend my time on that. Eventually, this cassette tape also came out. And people started recording his messages and distributing them. That was what changed his life. We have come in the generation, people like us, who are preachers. Who has time for tape? When we started here, we used to do tapes in Kingdom World here too. Then we moved to CDs. Then we bought our CD multiplier. And then, of course, we start putting everything on the web. Now, 90% of those that get our messages regularly get them from the web. Most people I hear say that I heard your message. It's like I went somewhere. My friend was playing on the phone. My friend was playing on the computer. Are you getting my point? And then I said, what is this? I listened. I copied everything. I went to listen. See, the technology changed. God is moving his word around the world now through another method. He did not depend on me to invent anything. He depended on me to just obey and teach. Many years ago, when my wife and I first, when we first rented this place and we came up here and they were doing some work there, of course, the place has changed a lot since that time. Okay? We just prayed and said, from here, this gospel will reach the world. I wasn't even dreaming of television or something. Then one day I went to church, one woman stopped me. She said, Pastor Banker, I've been looking for you. I said, what's up? She said, I'm starting a television station. I want you to be on it. That was the first time I realized that we could actually do TV. So we'll go to the studio, record a few times. After some time, I said, look, let's buy a car. Of course, the TV station didn't make it. Then we'll say, let's buy our own cameras. We bought our cameras. Then we'll put our recording on NTA. Then found out that we're paying more to NTA to reach just a few states in eastern Nigeria than we'll pay to Omega Channel to reach the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. Do you need to pray and ask God what to do in that situation? Are you getting my point? So we didn't change anything more than where we sent our tapes to. We just started packing the tapes and shipping them off to South Africa where they are based, spending the same amount of money, had a different audience. So I just remember one day, I said, this was the prayer we were praying to my wife, that from here, we'll reach the world. Somebody wrote me the other day, one of our sisters here, say, should she investigate for us how to open accounts in UK? I said, okay, never reach like that. Because somebody wanted to send us money, so I said they should give to her, that she'll find a way to give us. Believe me, if 2-3 people ask that, make that kind of request, I'm going to London for 2 days to go and find out what it will take. Now, I'm trying to say something here. These were not things we did with planning. Those just things. In fact, the first day we opened an account for Kingdom World, okay, we're just here, of course, initially. My wife and I gave 90% of the money that we spent and all of that. So we didn't need an account. My pocket was the account. After the money was coming from there, what are you talking about account when the money is coming from your pocket? Okay, we had account books and all of that, of course. But then one day, as soon as we went on air, after a few days, one guy sent a letter, opened the letter. It was a check for 5,000 that I made to Kingdom World Ministry. So either open an account or throw away the check. Choose one. That was when we quickly rush. That young man, never met him, don't know he was a student. He was blessed. So just wrote a check for 5,000 naira. I remember very well. In fact, it's easy to find out who it was. Just go to our account and check the first deposit. Can you plan these things? No, you can't. I was just reading the reprints today. And because of that, over the last few days, and I was discussing with my wife this afternoon, and I said, no, the problem we have in life is not the ability to plan. God has planned already. Believe me, he has planned already. He has planned already. He just wants to fit you into your proper place in the plan that he has made. And it depends on your obedience each day to be able to fit you where you are supposed to be. You can't plan for God. Like I always say, if you make long-term plans and they work, you are not blessed yet. Forget it. You're not blessed yet. Make your long-term plans, especially when you are jobless and I do. I've seen that people are not doing anything. They have all kinds of business plans in their heads. It's true. You're not doing anything. You come up with all kinds of ideas. You know, your guy said it once. All these young people. You told me then. People have too many ideas. You're not doing anything. Why won't you have ideas? Well, I'm looking for that, my friend. I've seen you, but I won't let anybody know it's you. I'm just looking around pretending like I don't know where you are, but actually, I know where you are. I told my brother, I said, next time you come with me to come to me with an idea, I will beat you. I mean, this man, he said, all kinds of ideas is your guys they come. You boys, forget these ideas. Just do the work I've given you to do. All these ideas you guys are having. It's because you're not doing anything. Believe me, the best ideas come to you while you are busy. Yeah. All those ones that came in your sitting room, after you have eaten, you finish eating donated okpa. It's not... believe me. All those ones, like, everybody Jesus called, they were busy doing something. Yeah. Matthew was busy cheating somebody on tax. Jesus came and said, good. You'll be good for the ministry. Let's come and cheat the devil. Come, follow me. Believe me. No, I found out. Listen. Look at somebody like Dangote, right? Just as an example. He's been a refinery. Do you know why he's been a refinery? At least the little I understand, I may be mistaken, but I was reading the story some time ago. It was simply because Yaradua, that's a former head of state, overturned the bid, that is, the purchase the old refineries Nigeria had. So when Yaradua came, the purchase from Obasanjo, so when Yaradua came, he cancelled the sale. After cancelling the sale, the man just looked and said, okay, if that's what you guys want it, no wahala. That was when he decided, let's build one. I talked later on to one of the men who were in, somebody I got to know anyway. Talked to one of them one day, and he said they were angry with the sale. They were in the industry. They were angry with the sale because they said, go and build your own. I said, oh, was that why you guys pressurized the president to overturn the sale? He said, yes. That go and build your own. Why do you want to buy our own? Obasanjo's reason for selling is that this has been a drain on national resources. And after all the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars we have spent, nothing. And of course, he knew that if he gave to the private sector, they would do well with it. So, that's why he sold it. They overturned the sale. The man said, okay, no problem. Is that the way you guys want it? I build my own. And you know, that history really excites me. $6 billion of personal money was what the man put down. Is that 7 billion? Oh, you see? I found out it's now 7 billion. One extra billion has been added during Bible study. $7 billion cash. American government nodded, added $980 million to it. Everybody now gathered the rest of the money. You're talking about, is it $16 or $19 billion? When they started the thing, the man looked and said, "This, let's double the size of this thing. It will have been working by now, but he doubled the capacity. That's why they pushed the production to next year, the year 2019. Did he plan it? No. They put up something for sale. He bought it. They revoked the sale. Like we say in Wari, now the guy provoke. And now all of us are looking forward. Look, that single investment. Please, let me just beg you. Just not part of our message. Just be praying for him. Forget all those people who say, is it the only one? Listen, if you two are faithful in your business for 25 years, God will do something for you. He will. Don't join the cult of poor people. People are always angry with anybody trying to do anything. I'm telling you, it's a bad thing. All I'm talking about, you actually can't plan your life. You can't. It's just not possible. We were here on Tuesday, right? We're studying Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Remember when we got down to the end? Said there's a woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. Said the one who's pleasing to God will be delivered from her, but the sinner will be what? Captured. Now, you remember when we were teaching that, I explained something by the Holy Spirit. That he wasn't talking about a literal woman. Until that Tuesday, I used to take it as a literal woman. It was that Tuesday as I was reading it, I said, oh God, thank you, Lord. Solomon was not talking about a literal woman alone, even though he applies. But he was talking about the fact that I dug for wisdom. I researched wisdom. I took my master's in business studies from Harvard. I did a PhD in Princeton. I went for MBA in the best schools in the world. I had all kinds of business knowledge. But life had traps. That's what he was saying. Say, one man came to me one day with the best business ideas. I bought the idea. Everything was right. But last moment, they overthrew one government in one African country, and my $10 billion was gone. That's what Solomon was saying. Life has traps. So he said, the one that's pleasing to God, we escape the traps of life. And that's why he said, God hid sound wisdom for the upright. What was he saying? You can't plan anything. That's what Solomon was saying. He said, the more wisdom I had, the more I realized I did not know anything. Even in my profession, those of us who are pathologists, when we're in training, the big guys used to tell us that the young pathologists, especially when it comes to autopsies, they are the ones that make the quickest diagnosis. Before they finish, they know what's wrong. But the old ones will scratch their head. They will check, ask questions, examine again. They wait till they finish with the microscope. Come back. At the end of the day, a lot of times they are still confused. Why? They have so much knowledge. But those that don't know anything, they are so confident. Solomon said that's how life is. The more I learned, the more I realized there was so much more to know. He said, after everything, I found out life has what? Traps. I remember one Olympics like that. I couldn't believe it. You know, 4x100. You know the way Usain Bolt collected all of these things? America at that time, the days of Carl Lewis and Co. They were collecting. I forgot which particular one guy was running that time. They have found, to my surprise, they didn't win 4x100. Why? They dropped the baton. I said, what? They had collected, all the men were winners. Winners, they were 4x100. Of course, the gold was in the bag. Everybody was waiting for them to collect the gold. Then one guy to exchange baton before. There's another one. The exchange did not fall, but at the end of the day, they disqualified them. Why? One guy took one step beyond the spot, the limit for exchanging baton. And that's it. Flojo, they collected her lines, her medal. You know what she did once? Before the drug matter. She was running, and at one point, she took one step outside her lane. Give us our gold medal back. Thank you. They gave it to the person who came second. Solomon said, life has what? Traps. There are so many traps. There are people who are in prison today. They didn't do anything wrong. Somebody just said at the airport, please let me hold this bag. That's it. They are still confused 15 years later. They're in prison. Smart, you know, they have everything together. But life has what? Traps. That's why I found that, look, I was just thinking about it before coming up. I said, gosh, you can't plan your life. You can't. Okay, so that's the point I just wanted to make. I just remembered it today. I said, no, let me just let people of God know that what is required of us is what? Day-to-day obedience. It is not what is your plan. No, it's what are you obeying today? Why are you where you are? What are you doing there? How are you improving yourself? How are you blessing somebody?